Lessons from Flight 1549. Will we have enough experienced crews in the future? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into Part 6 of this Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. In the hearings held by the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee last month, many witnesses presented perspectives on the events of the Miracle on the Hudson. We've heard from the flight and cabin crews, the controller who handled the brunt of the crisis from New York TRACON, and representatives of the FAA and NTSB in previous installments of this series. But there are issues beyond purely technical ones here. Today, we'll bring you some concerns from the unions representing airline pilots and flight attendants. 20 years from now, will we have highly trained and proficient crews in the cockpit and in the cabin, should these circumstances confront another airline flight? Captain John Kerry is the chairman of the Accident Investigation Committee of the U.S. Airline Pilots Association, the union representing pilots at U.S. Airways.
Chair recognizes Captain Kerry.
Chairman Costello, Chairman Oberstar, ranking members, Mike and Petrie, and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify before you this afternoon. Most importantly, we'd like to acknowledge the crew of Flight 1549 whose bravery and heroics combined with exceptional airmanship, saving the lives of the passengers. This has given our country a chance to proudly celebrate their bold actions. They have also given us the opportunity to reflect on the current state of aviation safety. Because we are party to the ongoing NTSB investigation, we will not comment on specific areas that would compromise the investigation. The Safety Board, in our opinion, has put a very appropriate emphasis on this investigation, and we're pleased to be a party. The reason we are a party and the reason we are here today is to work toward preventing future accidents and to promote aviation safety. Airline pilots have a long tradition of safety advocacy. Captain Sullenberger is a prime example. And one thing to talk about, it's one thing to talk about being a safety advocate, but airline pilots walk the walk. Pilot safety volunteers work tirelessly while dues-paying members reach into their pockets each month to support these ongoing safety activities. Even now, while working under bankruptcy-era contracts, our pilots continue to fund these all-important safety projects. Each and every budget contains significant funding for safety. Nothing would be more gratifying to see our colleagues from other flight crew unions here today. On the afternoon of January 15th, every airline pilot in the world put themselves in the cockpit of Flight 1549. We've all thought the ultimate. What would I do if I was at the controls that day? We all share the feelings, and in a very real way, Jeff and Sully have united us. Their professionalism in the cockpit, the poise that they've displayed during and after the event, and their personal demeanor has been an inspiration to every pilot. In all the hangar flying that's taken place since this event, nobody has second-guessed the actions of our crew. Many would predict a similar outcome. Not many would predict a similar outcome had they been faced with the same dilemma, which is extremely unprecedented. Airline pilots are their own worst critics. However, this case is one where there was no training, and almost all agree that a successful outcome would be, at best, a long shot. Many things went into the successful outcome of Flight 1549. Clearly, we had the vast experience of the flight deck that day, which is also evident as the pilots and flight attendants, as individuals, are the best and the brightest that our aviation society has to offer. In addition, our industry has built on many core safety principles which continue to serve us well. This crew was embraced with these principles and successfully demonstrated them during the Flight 1549. Regarding crew experience, the industry contraction had an unintended positive effect. In our opinion, First Officer Jeffrey Skiles is a primary example. Having been with the airline in excess of 20 years and previously served as a captain, his presence on the flight deck significantly contributed to the successful outcome of Flight 1549. Due to attrition, however, this will not last. The greatest hope that we have on ensuring experience on the flight deck is the future is to promote and support a thriving airline industry. A successful airline industry is the most important factor in attracting and retaining qualified pilots. Competitive salary and benefits are central to attracting and retaining qualified pilot workforce. And Congress must also step up to ensure the pilot employee pensions are protected. By protecting their pensions, you ensure that new hire pilots will remain in the cockpits of our airliners to become the Captain Sullenbergers of the future. The ACACA amendment will go a long way toward attaining that goal. When we talk about core safety values, FAA oversight and regulation is critical. FAA leadership in developing regulatory guidance for the implementation of our safety management system has stagnated to some extent in the advancement of the industry of the safety agenda. FAA needs to commission an aviation rulemaking committee to push the agenda forward. Although some of the industry have voluntarily begun programs, the standards are not uniform, and the quality can largely be debated without a pure SMS standard, such as those developed by the International Civil Aviation Organization. Individual events such as FOQA, ASAP, and AQP, and LOSA are all administered differently, thus making airline safety irregular at best. Talking specifically about issues which may be germane to Flight 1549, bird mitigation seems to be a very elusive problem, especially the further from the airport and the higher the altitude. Although much has already been done, further funding and study will be necessary to develop additional means for mitigation. An FAA review of FAR 139 related to wildlife hazards should be undertaken immediately. The failure of engines on Flight 1549 should prompt a fresh look at engine design and certification standards. Although the investigation is ongoing, it seems clear from the facts in the public domain that we have new data now in which to look at bird ingestion. FAA leadership will also be critical towards this effort. The evacuation and rescue phase was unprecedented. Although training and ditching is conducted, there has never been tested in this arena. To safely evacuate 155 people in this environment is a miracle in itself. The fact that this was all done with two rear exits and two rafts unavailable made the success almost an impossibility. One thing is clear, the entire crew performed heroically throughout the entire evacuation rescue. They are true heroes and should be recognized as such. Additionally, all of those who operated the rescue watercraft and many who performed heroically and unselfishly on the Hudson River that day should also be recognized. Open questions remain on the survivability of the aircraft. Due to the actions and rapid response of all involved, the sustainability of the aircraft did not become a factor. However, the fact that the aircraft sank to the point where the rear exits and rafts were unusable and did not remain afloat very long after the rescue should be a concern for future accidents. Hopefully, the investigation will shed light on the issues as facts are discovered. As we further analyze the accident, we should realize that our brief five-minute testimony here today, this afternoon, has lasted as long as Flight 1549. With a normal takeoff and climb, we should realize how little time our pilots had to analyze the situation, make a critical decision on where to land in one of the most heavily populated areas in the world. All this while attempting to restart failed engines, prepare the aircraft for ditching, communicate with ATC and flight attendants, and prepare the passengers in the cabin. I would like to reiterate our comment to enhancing aviation safety as this investigation goes forward, and I want to thank the committee once again for the opportunity to testify today. Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment with allegations that safety training for cabin crews is taking a back seat to customer service training. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to Lessons from Flight 1549, a special feature from Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. The cabin crew that showed up to work on U.S. Airways Flight 1549 on January 15th had a total of 93 years of experience. All three attendants have been trained in emergency procedures their entire careers. But what about new hires today? Are the airlines viewing their FAs as a waitstaff in the sky and shortchanging safety training? Candace Colander is the Air Safety, Health, and Security Coordinator for the Association of Flight Attendants.
Chair now recognizes Ms. Colander.
I want to thank the committee for giving AFA the opportunity to testify today and giving our members from U.S. Airways Flight 1549 the opportunity to tell their story. They are a true testament to the strength and resilience of all flight attendants that love this profession and take seriously our role as aviation safety professionals. At the same time, our thoughts and prayers go out to our fellow flight attendants and everyone affected by Continental Connection Colgan Airways crash outside Buffalo, New York. We are sadly reminded by this accident that our chosen career does pose a daily risk. For decades, AFA has been at the forefront calling for and helping develop improvements that have been made to ensure that our workplace, the passenger aircraft cabin, is as safe as it can be. We have been an integral part in accident investigations going back to the mid-1950s and played a key role in developing recommendations from these investigations. Over the years, we've seen a number of changes in design standards that have improved survivability and decreased injuries. Among them are less flammable cabin materials, floor-level emergency escape lights, and requirements for 16G seats in all newly manufactured aircraft. My written testimony provides greater detail on these and other improvements, but many more still need to be done and need to be addressed, such as aircraft air quality and evacuation certification standards. The evacuation of Flight 1549 reminded everyone in the world in stunning fashion just exactly what the role and purpose of flight attendants are: in-flight safety professionals. On that day, each member of this senior crew did their jobs as trained. Had they not done so, we would be talking about a completely different outcome. The aircraft landed at the right angle and was evacuated quickly with minimal injuries. There were also a number of fortunate circumstances that day, such as the weather conditions, readily available watercraft to provide assistance, and time of day that lined up perfectly for successful outcome. But we cannot always rely on luck. For that reason, we build redundant safety systems into the aircraft design to address potential failures. That is, if one of the safety protections fail, another layer of protections in the aircraft design will assist in mitigating continued failure or damage. When things start to fail in the cabin, we are left to rely solely on our training. Just because the crew did their job successfully in this case doesn't mean that we should stop building in additional operational layers in the flight attendant world to enhance safety. One of those layers is training. Training is crucial, just as crucial as redundant systems in design. Yet we continue to look at to enhance design. Why not look to enhance training? Years of cultural attitudes have often relegated flight attendants to nothing more than servers in the sky in the eyes of some. In fact, airline management is more than willing to spend money to add more and more customer service and sales type training for flight attendants. Yet at the same time, the trend has been to squeeze all the required emergency safety and security training into as little time in the classroom as possible. Flight attendant classroom emergency training hours have been reduced to the bare minimum allowed by the regulations. Now, we don't disagree with duties associated with customer service, but our primary role on board that aircraft is safety. I think we can all agree it's more important for a flight attendant to know how to properly use safety equipment than a credit card swiping machine. But we've observed a disturbing trend in reductions in the amount of time spent on required emergency training. Currently, some of the regional airline operators are providing a 2-day recurrent training for their flight attendants. A regional airline typically has only one or two aircraft types with similar configurations of the cabin, similar locations of emergency equipment, and similar procedures for emergency evacuation. A major operator, in contrast, has multiple aircraft types in multiple aircraft configurations and is conducting only a 1-day recurrent training. And sadly enough, we just recently learned that one of our regional airlines is now planning to reduce their 2-day to a 1-day emergency training. That's because the majors are doing it, the regulations allow it, and the FAA approves it. Training is not our only concern. My written testimony highlights other areas, and in fact, one of those areas is fatigue. Our President, Pat Friend, has on several occasions addressed this committee on that issue. In conclusion, we have been fortunate to see an overall decrease in commercial airline accident rates over the last few years, but we cannot rest on our laurels. We cannot stop researching new design standards that could further improve the accident survival rate. In addition, we must continue to evaluate and improve current operational procedures that would further enhance the ability of all crew members to fulfill their duties as safety professionals.
Deregulation has allowed airline fares to fall to a point at which air travel is now possible for the masses. Where do you want your shortcuts? This general philosophical question underlies many debates within the industry. We'll bring you more lessons from Flight 1549 in future installments. We can't promise you the answers to the resulting questions will be as easy to find. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.